This is PCJ Radio International. This is PCJ Radio International.
For those of you listening to the program through our FM partner stations, you probably realize we began the program a little bit different this week. And that's because of a special reason. And let's see if you can guess what it is. First, let's go back in history. Now, when Eddie Starts created this program way back in 1928 and through the 1930s, this is how he began the program. And it's a song that you've probably heard us play on the program before.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Yes, the original Happy Station Sig tune. When the show went from PCJ Radio and then to Radio Nederland, Eddie Starts, who was a fan of marches, introduced his program this way. The Sousa March went on for over 2 minutes before Eddie Starts introduced the program. Now, that does sound like a very long time for a Sig tune, but you have to remember, in the early days of Happy Station, the program ran for 80 minutes. Well, that was the early days. Now, you're saying to yourself, why are we talking about that and opening up this week's program with that? Well, it's very, very simple. March 12th, 2009, is the date the Happy Station show returned. So this week is our 7th anniversary. So on today's program, we're going to hear some voices from the past, and also from the only two surviving Happy Station Show hosts, Tom Meyer and Jonathan Gruber. But let's begin right now on a train journey. Think of this as a train journey through time. Duke Ellington, with a track that was played on shortwave radio for many years, not long after, well, actually I should say a few years after Happy Station was created. It was the Sig tune to the Jazz Hour on the Voice of America, hosted by Willis Conover. And yes, it is Duke Ellington's Take the A-Train.
Thank you.
Duke Ellington, and Taking the A-Train. Now, before we get to the post-war happy station, we're going to go back to the 1930s. Now, when Eddie Starts created this program in the late 1920s, it was first targeting the Dutch East Indies, and then to other regions around the world. Now, if you were tuning to a shortwave receiver at the time, this is how it would have sounded.
You are listening to station PCJ in Holland, the international shortwave station, being on the air twice a week for the Western Hemisphere, on Tuesday night and on Friday night. We hope you enjoyed our today's diversified program, our music, and a little talk about the Netherlands East Indies, and we are requesting you to kindly write in and tell us about your observations. All letters and cards and reports will be answered as soon as possible. Not only personally we will answer you before the microphone, but in due time, we send you an official verification, the QSL station card of PCJ. Will you write in today? All right, do it now. Thank you.
Now, many people may remember that Eddie Starts also hosted the Spanish version of the program, La Estación de la Alegría. But what people are not aware is that in the 1930s, there was also a French edition of the Happy Station show. And here's Eddie Starts again.
Chers auditeurs, bonsoir. Dans les colonies françaises, en Amérique centrale, à Guadeloupe, à Martinique, à Fort-de-France, à Saint-Pierre, à Miquelon, enfin partout, et aussi où on parle français, en Haïti. Bonsoir les auditeurs d'Haïti. En même temps, je n'oublie pas les auditeurs qui écoutent en français, c'est-à-dire au Canada. Ici le poste émetteur PCJ de la maison Radio Philips sur une longueur d'onde de 31 mètres et 28 centimètres. Comme toujours, le vendredi soir, nous émettons un programme expérimental pour une heure. Entre-temps, j'espère que vous restez à l'écoute et de temps en temps, vous allez écrire des impressions en ce qui concerne la réception de notre programme.
Op een tram te wachten, ik zag je in de verte staan. Toen keek ik je aan, je lachte, samen zijn we voortgegaan. Weet je nog wel, die avond in de regen, was al vlak voor negen, en we liepen heel verlegen samen. Onder moeders paraplu. Weet je nog wel hoe jij daar stond te wachten? Vanaf kwart voor achten, hoe we beiden vrolijk lachten samen onder moeders paraplu. Je wangen waren nat en je haar was nat. We trapten samen in een plas. Je merkte het niet eens omdat dat moment het mooiste van je leven was. Zeg, weet je nog wat, die avond in de regen, hoe we beiden zweven en we liepen heel verlegen samen. Weet je nog, onder moeders paraplu, onder moeders paraplu, onder moeders paraplu.
Well, Eddie Starts continued to host Happy Station until 1941, when the Netherlands was occupied by Nazi Germany. After World War II, when Radio Nederland was set up, one of the first programs to return was Happy Station, and he continued to host the show until 1969. Now, by that time, Eddie Starts is well past retirement age, so when it was time to announce a new host of the show, they took a young Dutch announcer by the name of Tom Meyer. In English, you will know the name, of course, as Tom Meyer. Now, Tom took over the show in 1970, and this is how Eddie Starts introduced Tom as his successor.
Very much to my regret, and not without a sad feeling in my heart, I have to announce herewith my retirement. My retirement from the Happy Station at the end of this year. The show, however, must go on. A new period lies ahead, with the understanding that the International Happy Station program is as such to be continued under the same name, but now to be produced by a new man, a talented young colleague, already on our staff since several years, to carry on the task of spreading goodwill and universal understanding in the well-known Happy Station manner. Not as a copy of my personal conception of the program, but as a completely new and modern version and presentation with new ideas and angles and the execution of same. Now, my friends, here is my message of today. The name of your future host and program producer-announcer is Tom Meyer. Tom Meyer. Spell M-E-Y-E-R. Well, I don't have to spell Tom, do I, Tom? Tom is an expert linguist and a much-traveled person with a fine international background who will be delighted to take over the helm from me to serve you, starting from the beginning of January 1970. He will then take care of all English as well as Spanish Happy Station programs. I'm asking you, listeners, that means you, to give him your confidence and full support for the difficult task that lies ahead of him. It is for this reason, my friends, that I take sincere and great pleasure in presenting my successor, Tom Meyer, to you.
The late Eddie starts introducing Tom Meyer. Now, Tom, of course, took the show in a completely different direction from Eddie starts. And Tom had told me before that many people criticized him in the beginning, certain listeners, saying that, well, you're not Eddie starts. And I think Tom would probably say something like, well, of course not. I'm Tom Meyer. Now, when I created Happy Station or brought it back in March 2009, there were a number of people that were writing me saying, you're no Tom Meyer. And I would say the same thing. Well, that's because I'm not Tom Meyer. Tom continued to do the show until the early 1990s. The show was then taken over by Pete Myers, one of the most memorable voices at Radio Nederland. He hosted a number of documentaries and took the show in a completely different direction. This is how he introduced his first Happy Station.
Well, this is it, the very first show of the new season. I'm Pete Myers, and from this point on, I have the pleasure of being your Sunday host. And I must admit, you know, taking over a show that's only had two hosts in 64 years is a daunting experience. I mean, for four decades, the Happy Station was dominated by Eddie Starts, a man I never knew, but who made this program his whole life. He rattled his teacup, and he was kind, and he was charming and considerate, and had this image of being everybody's favorite uncle. And then in 1970, along came my old buddy Tom Meyer, and he imprinted his personality on the show for two decades. He could speak, well, 1,000 languages. He could sing. He loved animals, is kind-hearted, considerate, wonderful with grandmothers, and was all sweetness and light. Now, he was the nearest thing to Mary Poppins Radio Netherlands ever had, or will ever get. So, what do you get? Since 1928, you got 40 odd years with Happy and Pappy and your favorite uncle, and 20 odd years of Mary Poppins, and suddenly you tune in today, and you're confronted with a middle-aged neurotic with a big mouth, a gammy leg, and a sex life put on hold. Well, darlings, at long last, welcome to the real world, and spread the word. The Wicked Witch of the Lowlands has arrived. And yes, dears, I do have a credo, too. It's short, it's sweet, it's funky.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good time roll. I say let the good time roll. I don't care if you're young or old. You ought to get together and let the good time roll out.
and spend some cash and let the good time roll now. I'm talking about the good times.
The late Pete Myers introducing his Happy Station, the very first show that he hosted. Now, one question that does come up from time to time, and it's something that I've talked about on the program before, is how did the idea about bringing the show come about? Well, actually, it goes back quite some time. And we invited Tom Meyer on the Happy Station to talk about how that all happened. Joining us now is Tom Meyer, who hosted Happy Station on Sundays for more than 20 years. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Keith. I think it was even more than 25, but I'm not sure.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because something that we have talked about before, back in 2009 on March 12th, we did a special Happy Station show that was kind of a tribute to the years that you did the program. And, you know, there was a very interesting story, not really about that first show, but I mean, eventually we did, after that one program, we did another and then another. It was only at the time once every 2 weeks, and then it became weekly. And then PCJ, of course, we started right after that. But the idea of it actually goes back quite some time. For people that hadn't heard the story before, it was an idea that we sort of casually discussed more than 20 years ago.
Well, to rephrase that, it was your idea that we discussed more than 20 years ago. I wouldn't have dared to suggest to you that you would start a company and take over the Happy Station show. No, but I do remember. We were in my garden in Hilversum, I think.
That's right. And I was staying in your guest house, yes. Right behind the garage. And I do remember one thing about the guest house.
Tell me.
The hot water heater I thought was horrible.
Why?
I was taking a shower one day, and I don't know what happened. The water was warm, and then I scolded myself.
Oh, wait a minute. That was, I think, a hot water boiler running on gas.
That's right.
But did it turn to cold or to boiling hot?
It turned to boiling hot.
Well, then you were probably accustomed to boilers that would immediately spout hot water, but this one needed time to sort of warm up.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. So I put it on, okay, the water's right, and I started taking a shower.
Oh,
and then scalding hot water came out of it, and the language that was used was, I'm not going to repeat it on air, you know?
That's good. Well, now I also understand why at the time I thought, gee, I wonder why Keith is blushing all the time. But that was not blushing. You were burnt.
I was burnt. I was like a lobster. Anyway, you know, I thought that, you know, today for the special occasion at this point in the program, for those people who would sort of like to have an idea, a very close idea, not an exact verbatim discussion of what we have, but a close idea, we can actually go back in time, which is impossible to do. But as many of our listeners will know, a literary work from H.G. Wells called The Time Machine. So I built one. It doesn't really work too well. So now we're going to go back in time. All right, here, Tom. Come on, get ready. I'm flying Doctor Who's TARDIS right now. I follow the plans from H.G. Wells. This thing is just not working right. I mean, we're bouncing throughout the universe, going through time and space. I hope we don't crash. No, we're not going to crash. I feel safe enough. Okay, all right, here goes.
Thank you.
right, all right, we made it. We're in Holland, early 1990s, and we're coming in for a landing. It's a little bit shaky, and, oh, good. We made it. Tom, I have to say, your garden is so beautiful, and this is such a nice place to have a cup of coffee on a beautiful Sunday morning.
Isn't it now? Maybe if we want... this is being recorded, isn't it? For
yes.
Use in about 20 years' time, Keith.
In about 20 years' time, yeah.
Well, then we don't have to be honest, and we don't have to tell whoever is hearing this that it's not coffee we're drinking.
That's right. And we're not going to tell you what it is. But, you know, Tom, it's a funny time. You know, I've been here in Holland for a couple of days, and, you know, you're no longer going into Radio Netherlands. And, I mean, because you're out of the organization now, do you think that Happy Station's going to be canceled?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I am. Well, you should never say you're positive about anything. But I'm almost positive that it won't last very much longer. And that is because we have arrived, like so many other countries in the world, in the era of managers. And that's not always good, because you often see managers appointed to companies or organizations which they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not be too verbatim, but, or outspoken rather, Radio Netherlands has also been suffering from that. We are not necessarily managed by people who are very well versed in shortwave affairs.
Yeah, that seems to be the sad case anywhere. But what do we ask you? You know, just out of curiosity, is the name Happy Station copyrighted or registered by Radio Netherlands?
Not that I know of, and I would be extremely surprised if it were, because as you know, and a lot of listeners also know, the name Happy Station was thought up in 1928 by the originator, Eddie Starts, at the time working for Philips. I'm sure they didn't copyright the name. And Radio Netherlands, which started in 1947, still in this day and age does not strike me as an organization which thinks of modern things such as copyright.
So what you're saying, Tom, I mean, right now, if I wanted to, right in this garden, I can tell you, you know what, we can start the show up as an independent production. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah, sure, except that you would have to do it, because for me, no, thank you.
Well, that would be a fun idea, but I think it would be too difficult now. I mean, oh, you know, we have no studio, and there's no way to possibly record the show. But, I mean, you know, who knows what can happen in the future?
Well, that's something you always got to keep your eyes open for. And there's a famous song from a musical, Open a New Window.
But you have to make sure you're not looking at something nasty on the outside.
No, open a new window, but don't jump out. If you ever would be thinking of starting something to continue the Happy Station show or something like it, you've got my blessing, son.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's not exactly how it went. I'll tell you one thing, Tom. It's a good thing that this wasn't visual, because I would be looking back at myself going, oh, my God, what happened to my hair? I mean, I still have a full head of hair, but the color has changed dramatically.
I almost wanted to say, what hair?
Oh, excuse me?
Now that we're back in 2014, we can get back to being nasty.
Right, exactly.
Now, I also remember, I think, because at my age, you're never sure whether you remember something or whether you don't even remember what remember means. Anyway, I seem to have told you at the time that our previous general manager of Radio Netherlands, whom I adored. I think he was a wonderful, wonderful man who did a lot of good things for our radio station. He wasn't generally respected very much, but he and I had a tremendous mutual respect for each other. And I remember at one point he said to me, I think that is after he had left Radio Netherlands, you know, a lot of people say, Mr. Meyer, that you're not supposed to do any commercials on shortwave. But I always say, where does it say so? There is no law that forbids us to do it. And like you've been doing, and which you may know, Keith, I was doing commercials for airlines, for hotel chains, for you name it. And he said to me, nobody can stop you because it doesn't say anywhere you're not allowed to do it. And that to me was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's funny because a lot of listeners were not aware that, you know, Radio Netherlands, a happy station, was just one part of what everything you were doing at the time. I think a couple of years ago, I wrote you because a listener sent us a copy of an exercise skiing record that you did the Dutch version of. The orchestra was with Max. Yes, that's right. And I remember playing the clip on the show, and I said, you know, you never heard Tom Meyer like this before, and you're doing the happy, happy, hope, hope, happy, happy, hope, hope. was...
Yes. Absolutely.
And then, of course, there were the Smurf recordings.
The Smurf recordings, which was a lot of fun to do. And there's lovely stories connected with that as well, where I walked into a record store in Colombia, and Colombia, South America, because I saw our Spanish Christmas Smurf record in their shop window. It was Christmas time. And I walked into the shop and I said to the girl, Miss, if I can prove that I'm on this record, will you give me one for free? And she said, ah, go away. I said, no, honestly. And I think my name was even on the back. And she ran back of the store and came back with the manager. And they were all excited. And I think they wanted to notify the local press. And I said, oh, come on. I was just joking. But it was a lot of fun to do the Smurf records. I did them in a couple of languages. I can't even remember. I know it was Spanish and Dutch and German. I can't remember the other ones. French, maybe. But anyway, it was a lot of fun.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if this is the experience that you had doing it, but I remember a number of years ago, I did a similar thing in China. It wasn't for the Smurfs. It was for some other cartoon series. And the music had been already recorded like 2 weeks prior. And then I went into the studio, and they slowed the tape, and I had to sing very slowly. And then they put the tape back at the normal speed, and it sounded like a chipmunk or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that is absolutely also the way the Smurfs were recorded. But it's, as you must have discovered also, Keith, it's a very special technique because especially your vowels, if you pronounce them with the same position of the mouth but lower in voice, then they come out as something very strange. It's a totally new technique.
What's interesting about it is I remember when the time that I did it, because of the vowels, sometimes you would have to like retake so many times just to get it right.
Yes.
You know.
Even in Chinese then.
Even in Chinese, yeah. Mine, the ones I did were in Chinese and English, which very confusing indeed.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine, yes.
Anyway, Tom, look, we're nearly out of time right now because we have a few other things to get to. For our fifth anniversary today, are there any wishes that you'd like to give to our listeners today?
Yes, one to the listeners and one to you. I'll start with the listeners. To the listeners, I wish you all that Keith may continue to do what he's been doing in those past 5 years, and that he may continue to be as successful as he's been over the past 5 years. I'm not saying that I'm hoping that it's going to turn into an international broadcasting network or something, although I do wish him all the best of luck. But that's what I wish the listeners, and to you, Keith. At the time, we talked a lot about what you were doing and what you were planning to do and what you wanted to do. I was also at times a bit critical, but never in a derogatory way. I always made it very clear to you that I wished you the very, very, very best in your endeavors. And I'm so happy, like a kind of a father, to see how successful you've been. And at the time, I wouldn't have dared to say that, but now I'm convinced that you will continue from victory to victory.
You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. You are my love, very, 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 véritable. Et je voudrais pouvoir enfin un jour te le dire, te l'écrire dans la langue de Shakespeare, my Daisy. Daisy, Daisy, désirable. Je suis malheureux d'avoir si peu de mots à t'offrir en cadeau. Darling, I love you, darling, I want you. Et puis c'est à peu près tout. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. But how can you see me, see me, see me, see me noble? Je ferais mieux d'aller choisir mon vocabulaire pour te plaire dans la langue de Molière, toi. Tes eyes, ton nose, tes lips adorables. Tu n'as pas compris, tant pis, ne t'en fais pas. Viens-t'en dans mes bras, darling. I love you, darling, I want you. Et puis le reste, on s'en fout. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. Je me demande même pourquoi je t'aime, toi qui te moques de moi et de tout, avec ton air canaille, canaille, canaille. How can I love you?
Tom Meyer singing For Me, Formidable, a song made famous by Charles Aznavour. The other surviving host of Happy Station is Jonathan Gruber, who actually put the show to rest on Radio Nederland in 1995. I spoke to him during another funeral, and that was the funeral of Radio Netherlands. We spoke during the final day of all broadcasts going out. And here he is talking about his time as host of Happy Station, and also about the death of Radio Nederland. But remember this, things don't die. They tend to come back better than ever. Am I referring to Radio Netherlands? I don't think so. I wanted to ask you one question, and I think, I don't know if you've ever been asked this before, but when you did the show for its last run on Radio Netherlands, did you have any kind of pressure? I mean, you knew that the show was going to come to an end. How was that for you?
Well, the thing is when they handed it off to me, they never said to me at that point, oh, by the way, Jonathan, you're going to be the last host and it's all going to be over. They never said anything like that at all. It was just mine, as far as I knew. So hindsight is 2020, and you know, if you look back, you could see now that the writing was on the wall. that it was quite clear that they had no intention of investing in the show anymore. I was working with Rosemary at the time. It was quite clear that Rosemary did not enjoy working with me, that she felt it was over, and she left the show. And then I was all on my own. And whereas there used to be a whole team of people, there used to be a lot of management backup on the show, it was just me in an office at a certain point. And I saw that the responses were getting less and less, and that may have had something to do with me. It may have had something to do with the fact that shortwave listenership was dropping like a rock at that point in history. So for whatever reason, it was quite clear that the days of the Happy Station were numbered. And then add that to the fact that I was really very new at what I was doing, and I basically got the job because I had been working with Pete, and I was there. I mean, who else were they going to give it to? So, you know, I received it, but I had very little experience. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I made a lot of mistakes along the line. And for whatever reasons, the listenership continued to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And then when they came to me and told me that it was all over, I wasn't in the least surprised. And to be honest, neither was I unhappy, because I didn't think I had been doing a particularly good job. And the management didn't really seem to want it anymore.
What was the response from the audience? I mean, did you have this sort of animosity from the audience, or some of the audience?
There was very little animosity from people. A lot of the people who had become dormant, I think, as listeners, who were either unhappy with me or unhappy with Pete or just not listening to shortwave anymore, had gotten the news, and then they started to write in, because we were asking them directly, seeing as the show is going off the air, send us your fondest memories and we'll read them on the air. And in some cases, we'll call you up and ask you to talk about them. So there was, like I said, the period at which I was working on Happy Station, there hadn't been a huge listener response at that point anymore. Then suddenly there was a much bigger response. A whole lot of people started writing in. They started telling us their stories. And that was actually very exciting. That was very inspiring for me. It really inspired me to do my best to make the last Happy Station show kind of a big send-off, which it was.
Now, you've been at Radio Netherlands for some time. How did you join the organization? Because you're originally from the United States.
Yeah, that's right. I'm originally from Brooklyn. And the reason why I came to the Netherlands in the first place was I had a Dutch girlfriend. And we had been living for a year in North Carolina. And she finished her studies there. And then we came to a decision point. Are we going to stay in the U.S. or do you want to go back? And she was tired of the U.S., so she wanted to go back to Holland. So we came over together. And then I suddenly went around looking for jobs, and I'd had a theater background. So I found out from a friend that who had been reading the news at Radio Netherlands, that they were always looking for new newsreaders. And that's how I got started there, just freelancing, reading the news. And I got more and more deeply involved in making radio, not just Radio Netherlands at that time, but also for the BBC and Deutsche Welle. And then I started to get more and more deeply involved in radio production, making things for Euroquest. And when Pete Myers and I met, suddenly there was a kindred spirit. And we found ourselves sort of palling around together in the office and making the same. We shared a humor is basically what, which I believe could only be described as extremely campy. And and if you've ever met Pete Myers personally, I mean, this is one of the world, a first class, you know, campy, flamboyant person. I mean, we were lucky that he wasn't coming in a feather boa every day to work, you know, which I understand in the 70s he actually did do.
I have some very early pictures of Pete that somebody sent me, and I know what you mean.
You could do a whole show about Pete Myers. I mean, that guy was just amazing. Anyway, so then what happened was when Pete started to do Happy Station, when he took over from Tom, he was looking for somebody to bounce his jokes off, and well, then the choice was pretty obvious. And I would sit in with him, and he would come up with these brilliant scripts, and I was just young enough and just green enough to go along with just about anything that he wrote. And so, you know, and I did quite happily, I have to say, because I thought that Pete's shows were so many of Pete's shows were really great. Really, really great.
I remember one of the jokes actually from Happy Station where The two of you were doing some banter back and forth, and you said and both of you at the same time before you played, I think it was Diana Ross, both said, the only thing that goes in a closet is clothes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, I think that somehow or another, when Pete came on, the La Cage aux Folles level of the show got a lot higher. No, it was an absolute scream to work with Pete Myers, he was great because he could put on like many different hats. Because on the one hand, when he would do the Happy Station show, he would be incredibly entertaining and very flamboyant, and he would be making jokes a mile a minute, and he would make himself the butt of a joke very often, and it was indeed rather campy. And then, you know, he'd go off and he would make an amazing, insightful, intelligent documentary about the war in Lebanon the week after. You know, so I mean, there's very few people who can just turn around like that. You know, I mean, he was just one of the most sophisticated, intelligent, thoughtful, and experienced broadcasters I'd ever worked with, who had absolutely no problem whatsoever about making a nude, you know, carnival fart jokes. So, you know, he was a spectacular person, Pete Myers.
So from that point, when Happy Station ended, is this when you moved more towards the current affairs and feature side? Because at the time, Radio Netherlands had a show that was exported overseas called EuroQuest, which had a pretty long run, which eventually stopped. And then, of course, not too long after, the state we're in started up. So how did you make that transition? Because you were doing a show that was very off the wall. You'd working with Pete, who was even more off the wall. Was it easy for you to go into doing stuff that was more serious?
Well, yeah, I think at that point, after having done the Happy Station and having found it to be, on my own, a generally unpleasant experience. I mean, with Pete, it was amazing fun. You know, it was really fabulous doing it with him. But doing it on my own, knowing that the show was coming to an end, not getting the support, and also generally feeling rather inexperienced and out of depth, I was looking for something very different anyway. I was moving in a newsier direction. So yeah, when EuroQuest came my way, because it was being produced by somebody else entirely, when EuroQuest came my way, it was exactly the change that I was looking for. I wanted to do something more serious. I wanted to do, I guess, you know, between quotes, proper journalism.
Now, one of the big differences between EuroQuest and the state we're in is that the state we're in takes one subject and focuses on that subject for an entire hour. And, I mean, I'm a listener of the show, and I've heard some very, very touching stories on the show. Is that difficult for you to do sometimes with some of the stories that you cover?
By that you mean when we do the state we're in, that's a show that often covers human rights topics and some of the things that people have gone through can be harrowing. Yeah, give me a for example.
Well, for example, there was one show that you did on the Comfort Women,
right?
Which is actually one of my favorites that you've done, because it's a subject that I'm very, very interested in. And I remember when I was listening to it, and when I listened to it again, you really sounded touched by what that woman was saying.
I'm very often touched by the guests that we speak with. I mean, one of the ways that we approach these topics, we like to approach big news stories or stories that have to do with the big moments in history or big moments in people's lives, rather than, say, covering what would be happening in Egypt through a correspondent, we would find an Egyptian. So rather than talk about with an expert or a historian about the plight of comfort women in Korea or Dutch comfort women or what happened in Indonesia, we decided if we're going to do this, we have to find somebody who had been through this before they're all gone, because they're all getting very old now. So we found ourselves a woman named Ha Mo-ni, which I believe means grandma in Korean. And she was a comfort woman. She was captured by the Japanese. She was Korean. She'd been through this experience. And we got her to talk in great detail, to talk about exactly what had happened to her. The really awful, inhuman events of what had happened, you know, getting close to 65, 70 years ago now, you know, and it's all there, still very fresh for her. And she's not over it. She's simply not over it. And to get her to talk at that level, I mean, the reason why I wanted her to go into such detail was I wanted her to be able to express to people who are listening just how real this was. Because to many people now, it's history. So it needs to not be history. We need to humanize these inhuman events for people. They need to feel it with her to a certain extent. Not that that's really possible, but that's what we're trying to achieve. So I am asking her to go into a lot of detail about the very awful things that had happened to her. And the reason why I'm doing that is because we need to make it human. We need to make it real for everybody. We need to make them understand the tragedy and to feel her emotions and not to talk about them with the distance of the correspondence or the distance of the historian or the expert. We're going straight to the source, as it were. So is that hard for me to listen to week in, week out when I'm doing these interviews in order to answer your question? No, it's not hard at all. It's fascinating to me. It's a privilege. It's interesting. It's extraordinary. And it's putting me in the position of being to speak with people who have lived with or are creating history. And it's probably one of the finest jobs in the world to be able to do something like this.
Because one of the important elements of the show, of course, is you tell stories like you just mentioned that you normally, the story's out there. People have heard it maybe from generation to generation, but it's never been talked about publicly. Another show that I remember very well was when you talked about the incident that happened in Indonesia when Indonesia was still part of the Netherlands, when it was the Dutch East Indies, and how Dutch soldiers were ordered to open fire on civilians in this one village. And I remember hearing the voices of the soldiers who were involved in that. And it's almost as if for them, it was like a release to be able to talk about it publicly, because maybe if they've been holding it in for more than 30 years, 40 years or longer, they can actually say it publicly. It's almost like a sort of therapy almost.
Well, let me just tell you very quickly that those original interviews were done by Dira Sujan a few years earlier. I didn't actually speak with those gentlemen. We took the audio and we reversioned it, because we wanted to play off the interview that happened earlier in the show with one of the last survivors of the Rauwegade massacre, in which those Dutch soldiers, not the ones we spoke with, but with members of the Dutch colonial forces who went in to put down the Indonesian insurrection, which also could be called the Indonesian Independence War, which led to modern-day Indonesia. Right after World War II, more than 100,000 Dutch soldiers were sent to Indonesia to put down the rebellion, which is quite incredible when you think of the fact that the country was destitute and just came out of World War II. Anyway, one of the incidents was they surrounded a village and they killed all of the men and boys in the village, every single last one of them. It was a total massacre. And so earlier in that show, I spoke with the last surviving man from that massacre, and he's come over to ask the Dutch not for an apology, but simply for compensation. And that's actually quite extraordinary, because he was laughing. He harbored no ill feelings. He thought it was lovely that the Dutch were ready to receive him in this nice way. But as far as we know, he's still waiting for his compensation. And then what we did was we took that piece from Dira Sujan from years earlier called Holland's Black Page. That was another show. And we took those Dutch colonial soldiers to talk about exactly what it was like to go into Indonesia at that time and to commit these acts. Now, many, many, many Dutch soldiers here in the Netherlands who've experienced this do not want to talk about it, and they feel that they did a good job. They did the job that they were asked to do. But some of them, like the gentleman we interviewed, feel tremendous shame for what they were told to do. So, and that's exactly what those interviews were about, was speaking with these men, talking about the massacres that they've committed and how they've been trying to deal with that years later. And also about the fact that, and this is quite interesting aspect of life in the Netherlands, the fact that almost nobody talks about it, and it can still continues to be tossed under the carpet here in this country. Really, talking about the Dutch role in the Indonesian War of Independence here is still pretty taboo.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure, Keith, and good luck.
And that was my conversation with Jonathan Gruber, the last host of Happy Station when the program was on Radio Nederland. Well, we hope you enjoyed our anniversary program this year. As you know, we try to make it a little bit different every year. And this year, I think it was, actually, more so than last year. Anyway, we're going to leave you today with a song that Tom recorded called the Happy Station Song. You've heard us begin the program with it before. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Is the Happy Station Show calling listeners everywhere?
Everywhere!
It's your station of smiles across the miles, spreading happiness all can share. Whether your transmission is HM or B, you're welcome to the world's largest happy family. So hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. From Mexico, come and join in the swing and have a merry fling with the Happy Station Family Show. Show calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across the miles, spreading happiness all can share. Whether your transmission is HM or B, you're welcome to the world's largest happy family. So hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. From Alaska to
Mexico.
Come and join in the swing.